This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Former NASA scientist James Hansen often speaks of global warming still in the pipeline. The actual contributions to atmospheric change have been masked by the dimming effect of other air pollution. Our next guest might call that a climate debt, except she has documented a different source of greenhouse gases that apparently cannot be stopped now. The press has labeled them zombie emissions. Stick with me, please. This is important. We're going to reach out to the lead author, Isabel Rosa. She has a PhD in computational ecology and works with the German Center for Integrative Biodiversity Research. From Leipzig, Germany, Isabel, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you. Well, Alex, it's good to be here.
I realize this debt, as you call it, coming due involves more than climate change, but let's start with that. What is the source of the so-called zombie emissions you and your team published about last summer in the journal Current Biology?
Tropical forests have been under great pressure over the last few decades, and trees have been cut down at a really fast rate. When the trees are cut down, some of the wood is removed, some of it is burned, and some of it is left at the site to decay naturally as it decomposes. And so these emissions that were called zombie emissions by a journalist are actually these emissions that result from the decomposition of this wood or organic matter that is left on the site and it decomposes over time.
It's hard for people to picture. I've seen clear cuts in North America, and there are massive amounts of wood left. Even when they make some burning piles, there's just huge amounts of carbon left on the forest floor.
Yeah, so in the tropics, it depends a little bit on what the forest has been cut down for. So, for instance, maybe in the past, deforestation was more traditional or more small scale for slash and burn agriculture. But in more recent years, large scale agriculture for mechanized agriculture remove much more wood from the site than previous types of deforestation. But like you said, it's still a large amount of wood that is left to decompose and where the forest was standing before.
How can we understand the magnitude of carbon emissions due to be released by tropical deforestation? Do you have some numbers for us?
So our estimates show that if we don't do anything, and it's important to say that there are some ways in which we can help not preventing, but at least capturing back some of these emissions. So we estimated that these emissions would be the same as stopping deforestation completely, and these emissions would correspond to having 5 to 10 more years of deforestation, which I think is significant if we think of how many forests are being cut down currently.
So even if we stop this relentless wave of cutting down tropical forests, the emissions pictured in your paper would still continue for perhaps a decade.
Yes, exactly. And that tells us how much we, as humans, have been having a strong impact on our planet and a long-lasting impact.
What methods did you use to calculate the amount of carbon in fallen trees and vegetation? I mean, you did it on an international scale. That's a big project.
Yes, indeed. And the project is based on computer simulations, not based on field data or field data collection. So we used maps that were developed by my co-author Matthew Smith from Microsoft Research Cambridge, where he estimated the potential carbon that was in those trees before they have been cut down. And then we superimposed our deforestation maps produced by my model to estimate how much carbon was lost over time.
But won't the trees grow back and suck up that carbon again?
Some of it, but the problem is a lot of a lot of these areas are actually being replaced by agricultural fields, which are not able to capture as much carbon as a tropical forest. It's a completely different ecosystem. And so I think it's important to understand that although some of the carbon can be recaptured, we really need to think of ways to accelerate or to allow for a greater recapture of the carbon by, for instance, incentivizing conservation and also restoration, particularly restoring degraded areas that aren't being used for agriculture for whichever reason. These should be areas where we should actively create an incentive for forest restoration.
Well, as we know, time after time, governments and even United Nations science reports underestimate the true amount of greenhouse gases reaching the atmosphere. They don't count aircraft emissions. They haven't counted some Arctic gases. To your knowledge, did the IPCC reports or the Paris Accord include the emissions from ruined forests?
To my knowledge, these emissions from the decay of the wood have not been taken into account, at least with the level of detail that we were able to do in our study.
So with the data from your paper, do we know enough now to add these future emissions to calculations of the global carbon budget?
There's still uncertainties that I think need to be addressed, and I think I try to focus a little bit on that on the study as well. Because, for instance, we know now we're getting better and better at monitoring deforestation rates with better and better satellite data, but there's still large sources of uncertainty in terms of the amount of biomass that is actually in the forest. But I think I hope my study is a contribution towards improving our knowledge on the true contribution of deforestation and land cover change to climate change.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest, Dr. Isabel Rosa. She's the lead author of a new paper on the unexpected blowback from tropical deforestation. And Isabella, the other shocking surprise in your paper is that the process of forest breakdown will accelerate the disappearance of species from this planet. How is that possible?
So there are a lot of species that are forest dependent, so their preferred habitat for surviving it's forest, and we've been cutting this down so fast and the species cannot survive in whatever ecosystem replaces the forest. And so we've shown that with 60 years of tropical deforestation, we've lost already more than 40 species that we will not be able to replace. And if we do not act to restore these forests that we have destroyed, then we will lose an even higher number of species over the next few years as a result of all the deforestation in the past.
Why are these extinctions delayed, Isabella, when the forests have been cut down? Why don't the species die right away but appear years later?
There's called a relaxation period where species may try to adapt to the new environment, and so that's why there's not an immediate loss of the species, but over time, as species are not able to survive, they might go extinct.
So as you did your study, what countries had the greatest buildup of yet-to-be-released greenhouse gases and the greatest threat of loss of species? Where is the big tropical deforestation happening?
As it's well known, I believe Brazil had a very significant amount of deforestation, especially since the 70s until the early 2000s, with a recent slowdown. And overall, over the 60-year period, Brazil was definitely the country where we estimated a higher loss of carbon and a greater number of species extinctions. This was followed by Indonesia, and much less so in Congo, where deforestation is it's still very low, but it seems to be increasing, unfortunately.
You know, I've been wondering if this extra carbon enhances the trend of drying out trees in a hotter world. I mean, there's concern right now that millions of trees have died in the United States. Other scientists suggest some of the Amazon may convert to grasslands, partly due to climate change. Does that make these emissions, in a way, a positive feedback where deforestation may lead to more deforestation?
We didn't account for that, but it could be, yeah, because we're... The tropics is a very large area in the globe, and it has been contributing a lot to the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. So it's not something that I have analyzed myself, but I believe that it could have an effect.
You know, it's interesting. Your paper really reaches out to two very distinct groups of activists. You have activists and scientists and policymakers who work on climate change and others who seem to work on forests and species extinction. Why do you think a single mechanism is leading to such diverse changes to both species and the atmosphere?
I think the overall glue, so to speak, is the vegetation and the habitat. So when you destroy such a biodiversity and biomass-rich ecosystem such as tropical forests, and you replace it by an agricultural field, you have a very big impact not only on species but also on carbon cycle. And I think it's important to, in the future, to consider conservation and restoration actions that actually look at multiple angles and not only on one or the other.
I remember talking to one scientist, he was actually working in the boreal forest, who said, we might actually be better if we just buried the excess wood, because at least that would slow down and add carbon to the soil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It would be a massive project, of course, and we could never do it, but...
No.
So you've made kind of a prediction about continuing emissions in this paper. Is there a way to test that, or does it need testing?
Continuing emissions from active deforestation, you mean?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I think it's a clear pattern, at least for now. And although in Brazil there was a slowdown in deforestation rates, we could see an acceleration of these rates in the Congo and also to some extent in Southeast Asia. So we live in a world where human population is still growing, and we are very demanding and high consuming humans. So we need to be able to produce food to feed all these people. So there's still incentive to the agricultural business, and unfortunately the more production has been coming not from intensifying existing agricultural fields but coming from destroying natural habitats and particularly destroying tropical forests. And I think we need a bigger effort as a community to prevent future tropical deforestation.
Well, I completely agree, but as we wrap up, I want to ask you on a personal note, what is computational ecology?
A fancy name for an ecologist that works essentially with behind a computer and on a desk and does a lot of modeling and not so much field work as that, like she wishes.
So what are you working on now or next?
So my research interests are based on how we can use land cover change scenarios to inform policy and decision making. So at the moment, I'm studying how we can use these scenarios to help implementing, for instance, payments for ecosystem services policy that would allow us to create incentives for forest restoration, for example, particularly in the Atlantic forest in Brazil, or how we can use scenarios of future land cover change to inform decision makers on the impact of building new infrastructures. And I'm doing that for the Serengeti National Park.
Those are also big projects, and I look forward to your research. We've been talking with Dr. Isabel Rosa from the German Center for Integrative Biodiversity Research in Leipzig. She's the lead author of one of the more important publications of the summer of 2016, I think. The title is The Environmental Legacy of Modern Tropical Deforestation, as published in the journal Current Biology. You can find links to Isabel and the paper in my Radio EcoShock blog, published every Wednesday at ecoshock.info. Isabel, thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much, Alex. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I'm Alex Smith reporting.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.